This is the Briznet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
And welcome to the Briznet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully, your hour HRRN Nation, 6 to 7 p.m. tonight and every Thursday night here on the network. Phone number to give us a call, 888-966-4776. 888-966-4776. Give us a call. Talk about whatever you would like in the field of horse racing right now. And pretty exciting time right now, as we're right at the start, it seems like, of nonstop action for the three-year-olds on the way to this year's Kentucky Derby. Between now and the middle of April, there's only one weekend where there won't be a points qualifier on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And it all starts this weekend with the Grade 3 LeCompte Stakes over at Fairgrounds. And this is a race that in past years has been the start of the road to the road to the Louisiana Derby at Fairgrounds. But they had the Gunrunner Stakes earlier in the meet, and that was a points qualifier won by Epicenter. They've got the LeCompte, a Grade 3 event for the three-year-olds this Saturday. Do we have James with me? James, welcome back to the show. We don't have James yet. We're still working on James. A little bit of a technical issue on James' end, but the phone lines are open. HRRN Nation, if you didn't listen during the race day program here earlier, a question that I asked was, if you could go back and tell yourself something gambling-wise 20 years ago, something that you should be aware of or something you should stay away from that would have helped you make more money or saved you money in the long run, what will that be? And I don't want something like one of those Back to the Future almanac things where you know how to, you know what year the Cubs are finally going to win the World Series. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something like, you know, knowing that, hey, I need to watch for these horses in these situations. If I would do that over the next 20 years, I would make a lot more money. Or if I could just stay away from these kind of races, or maybe as much as I enjoy races from a certain track, I don't do very well there. Maybe I shouldn't play there. I should venture somewhere else. James, I'm interested in your ideas on this too. Welcome back, my friend.
Well, it's good to be back, Bobby. Good evening to you. Glad to be on, and glad to be on with our listeners. And, you know, that's a great question. One thing that for me, and I'll just say, you know, but is somebody who's now in their early 50s, who's been betting a long time, you know, two points I want to make. One is being more selective. That's a little bit, you know, you sort of reference that skipping, you know, like, you know, not betting certain races and being more selective in how I leverage my bankroll, you know, play more on my stronger opinions and less on races where I don't have a stronger opinion. And the other is just being more disciplined. One thing that I've noticed is that when I am having a winning day or have had some success, I tend to be sloppy with my betting. And that's really become a pet peeve of mine over the years. And I wish, you know, like 20 years ago, I could go back and just realize that, you know, your approach, whether you're up or down or even, should be the same. You just can't start, you know, just throwing money away on bad bets just because you're having a good day.
Let's go out to the phones. Jeff in Louisville, welcome to the Briznet.com call-in show with Bobby and James.
Hey, guys. Good evening. How are you all doing?
Hey, Jeff, good. How are you, buddy?
Good.
Doing good. Hadn't called in a while. It's good to hear from you all. I was listening to you and Bob talk on the show earlier, and I told myself I was going to call in. I thought Bob was going to be on the show with you. But nothing against James or anything. But and I'll be darned if he didn't bring up the time when he was an agent for his three and a half years. I was also a greenhorn agent. At the same time, around Churchill Downs, Ellis Park, Keeneland, all the Kentucky tracks. Bob had Greta Kunstwaller at the time. And Lenny Pike was there with Robbie Alvarado. Pat Day had Doc Danner. Fred, can't remember Fred's last name, had Shane Sellers and some, a couple other good jocks. But I was going to call in and remind him of the cool, one of the coolest things I saw him do. He took a horse up to, he snuck Greta up to Philadelphia Park or Parks, whatever it was at the time. This was back in 03 and 04. And she won a little 5-furlong turf sprint. I think those are your favorite races, aren't they, Bobby?
I can only tell you that even if Bob would have touted me on that horse, I probably right now would not be betting it.
Anyway, I think it was a horse called Testify or Testify, and he went up there and won that stake. At the time, it was called the Turf Monster, which was $100,000 back then, 03 and 04. I remember he won that with Greta. And I thought that was the coolest thing because I had Patrick Johnson at the time. You know, I was green, and he wasn't real popular at the time, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but it was fun. I learned a lot from those guys, and it was great to hear. Bob, I knew he was on the show with you during the day, and I just wanted to call in and say hi to him, and darn if he didn't bring up the stories from back in those days. I remember, you know, Randy Romero was around there, too. I didn't know him like Bob. I knew who he was, but, yeah, those was fun times. But about the thing I learned 40 years ago was conditions of races. You know, I didn't used to know how to read them, didn't pay any attention to them, you know. And finally, when somebody taught me how to read them, it changed everything.
Well, that's a big difference now, and we appreciate your call, Jeff. But to Jeff's point, James, the conditions in races these days have gotten so intricate compared to when you and I were growing up where, you know, really it was pretty simple. You know, there were claiming races or there were allowance that were non-winners of this or non-winners of that. And that was pretty much this. It was, you know, there was never, well, for three-year-olds or for four-year-olds that are non-winners of three times lifetime or twice since June 21st of last year or, you know, and all these extra conditions that Jeff is talking about is really just a way to get more horses eligible to run in these races. It has a lot to do with, you know, the general horse shortage that we've had over the years. You know, you can't just write, instead of just wide open, you know, 20 claimers and 32 claimers and 50 claimers running, now, you know, you're writing these conditions to try to include more than exclude horses.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Churchill Downs this year, you know, really started breaking out these restricted maiden special weights, and they were restricted to sales price. And I mean, there were like different sales prices for different restrictions. And that was like a brand new condition that I hadn't been familiar with. Maybe that had been around for a little bit. Another element that's like sort of new and people really need to pay attention is like, you know, horses can enter claiming races and take advantage of a waiver. And it's just like a new, there's like these like new wrinkles, like you're saying, new conditions, new wrinkles. And, you know, you really got to stay on top of it.
That maiden race that you're talking about, they run those in California as well, and they called it, actually, they called it the kind of Bob Baffert rule out there, because what they're doing is they're trying to have maiden special weight races where people, you know, not, you know, who don't have, you know, the big money horses like Baffert or like Pletcher, Chad Brown, or, you know, whoever you want to name, aren't in there, where, you know, people want to still run their horses and not have a chance of losing them for the claiming tag, but know that they don't want to run into these $500,000 or $1 million, you know, 2-year-old and training runners that Baffert or Pletcher or Chad Brown or who, you know, I'm reeling off top trainers. It's not specifically against them, but that's kind of what it is out there. It's a kind of a grade B maiden special weight race. So, and my question to you, when you look at those races, so if a horse comes out of that, let's say a horse comes out of one of those races and shows up in a wide open maiden 50 next time out, is that a step down in class or is that kind of an even level run?
Yeah, it can definitely be an even level kind of run in my book. You know, it depends a little bit on I mean, one thing about those maiden special weight races to me is a little bit like in the time of the earlier in the year, they can be a lot more sketchy, especially for 2 year olds, just like overall quality. You get towards the end of the, you know, in the fall and such later in the summer. And, you know, you tend to get, you know, deeper fields and more depth to those races. But, you know, that's a fair point. I mean, like at Churchill, you'll see horses that run in main special weights at a certain track that might not be a level track. And then they go run in a maiden 50. And I mean, who knows, you know, it's really, you got to like gauge, there's different ways, you know, to gauge the class, but, it can be a little bit of, you know, that horse in that example could either be stepping up or stepping down in class, or it could just be like an even type of move. So, hey, and Jeff, I'll point out one other thing, Bobby. Jeff brought up Greta Kunzweiler, and I just took a quick look at her, won 555 races and over $12 million or mounts earned. I remember her riding back, you know, Ellis Turfway, you know, in Keeneland and Churchill, riding on the Kentucky circuit years ago. So I thought that was an interesting throwback there.
Yeah, my co-host Bob Nastanovich in the earlier program has a lot of great memories from getting to work with Greta, and nothing but good things to say about her and his time getting to work with her many, many years ago. Let's go back to the phones. Rick in West Palm, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Good evening, wherever you are. Hello. Two real quick points, and then I'll drop off. First of all, the one about 10 days ago or so with that horse that that guy had, the Rainbow Six at Gulfstream. Remember that about 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. We remember.
Yes.
First, I'd like to know, did anybody jump on that 30-1 that went wire to wire? That was hilarious. That was one of racing's at its best.
That was phenomenal, and if you didn't read the story about it, Rick, supposedly the guy was alive to four horses. He didn't decide to play the pick six until, you know, less than a half hour to post time, and then just kind of rushed together and put a ticket together, and it wasn't a little ticket. It was over $1,000, and he used his handicapping as well as some advice from some experts that he trusts. And he had four horses alive in the last leg, but of course the horse that won was the only one that was going to pay the whole pool. And that horse, I mean, that was as easy a win from a 30-1 shot as about you'll ever see. He broke on top, and that was it.
But it was funny because listening to you guys in the car, and that was when it came up to that race, that was the first thing that you spoke about. And it was like, well, everybody, you going to get in or are you going to get off? I mean, racing doesn't get any better than that. I'm sorry to say, but that to me, that was a gem.
No, it really was a gem. And Rick, you know, you're right about that. What you said, you had another point. What was the other?
Simple. Earlier in the racing show today, you spoke about the handle at Gulfstream being down by X amount. And if I'm correct, you attribute it to the you're calling the sin now, the sin.
No. I'm saying that is one of the factors. I think a major factor is that Oaklawn Park has been open just to refresh what exactly he's talking about, James, in the earlier I went up and I added the total handle at Gulfstream Park for the first 13 racing days of January this year and the first 13 racing days of January last year. I didn't look at December because Christmas fell on a Saturday this year, and you know it would be a little bit too much different. But through the first 13 days, the difference was $136 million to $115 million, just $20.2 million, just about over $1.5 million a day lower this year, first 13 days of January racing, as opposed to last year. And what I was getting at, Rick, is that I would like to know what the excuses are. I think the fact that Oaklawn is open is a gigantic factor. But I think we'd be foolish if we didn't think the fact that they're running less turf races and all these synthetic track races didn't factor into that as well.
Bobby, the thing that I'm curious about, does that include any difference, and the on-track handle, or we don't even include that anymore. It's just total handle.
This was just total handle. I would say on-track handle has got to be awful. I've been to Gulfstream Park a few times this meet. I don't know if you have, Rick. There are not a lot of people there. And the reason there's not a lot of people is there's not a lot of places for people to watch races there. They just don't have it. The whole north area, which used to be the bar, or what, I don't know if they what they called it, the
Tiki Bar.
But it's all under construction now, and they're trying to make it into a some sort of a club and have it ready for Pegasus when they're going to have all sorts of like hip-hop and R&B acts supposedly there. But right now it's just a big pile of rubble. You can't even go past the horse path where the horses come onto the track, right where the TVG set is. And as we know from years past, there's just not a lot of places to watch the races live there anyway. Not only that, they haven't had a tote board the entire meet. It just got put up.
I know. Bobby, just one more thing. Do you figure at the COVID/lack of snowbirds not here any factor at all?
I don't know if I factor that because, to be perfectly honest, I think there are a lot of people who have come here instead of staying where they are. And that may have something to, you know, it obviously has a lot to do with the weather. Florida, let's face it, because of certain political things, has been a little bit more wide open with their regulations than some other parts of the country or the world. And I don't really want to get into politics, but that's just the way.
No, not at all.
Let me put it to you this way. I don't know if you play golf or if you're familiar with golf, Rick.
Yeah,
golf courses in Florida are doing more business now than they've ever done, ever. They're just packed because that's something that's open and people are coming down here knowing they can do it. You know, these clubs are 20% more filled than they've ever been in their, you know, in their history of being open. The golf courses are packed. All the rates are higher. It doesn't matter. That's what, you know, there are a lot of people down here. So I don't think that has as much effect when getting back to Gulfstream. I don't think that's as much effect as you think. I don't know what the answer is to why their handle, why their handle's down, but there are several factors. And I don't know if they can be fixed this season.
I know people that have delayed and are not coming this year.
Well, that may be, but I would say most of those people, if they're race trackers, probably bet online anyway, because most money is bet online these days.
We know that, sure. That's why I asked you the difference between on track as opposed to the ITW, that's all.
Yeah, I don't know. This was just a general number, the total handle, not split up either ways. But, Rick, I appreciate your call and love your questions and your opinions. And it's a tough thing, James, because, like I said, the numbers are there. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not like Gulfstream's doing terribly. I mean, they've bet $115 million in 13 race days in January. You know, I mean, every other track in the country wishes that they had $115 million a handle in 13 race days. But when that's $1.5 million down a day from what you did this time last year, obviously there's some concern.
Yeah, there is for sure. And you're right. I think that there's competition. I mean, Oakland being open in December and all of January has provided, people bet Oakland Park. And the other reason is just, like you mentioned, the Tapeta. You've introduced a third surface there, and a lot of people are apprehensive to, wager and bet on those races. And, you know, it's easier perhaps just to pass the whole card than to have to deal with the Tapeta races. So, I've seen those, like, drawings of the Carousel Bar and such. I wonder if that's where that bar was. You know, they're putting in a brand-new luxury spot. I'll mention one other thing, too, Rick, before you get to that. Rick mentioned was that pick six. That was hit the day before the mandatory payout. And that's not the first time that's happened. That's happened several times over the decades since we started having these mandatory payouts. And, that's a time where – because a lot of people are gearing up to play on Saturday, which was the mandatory payout, and the better, you know, jumped in. He was too deep in the first leg, and then every other leg had at least three or four horses in it. Right. Supposedly
he had four in the last leg, the inside four runners, and obviously the one that won was the one that was the one that he really wanted to win. So that was great for him, and it was a great story reading that. And it is what it is. They'll have another chance at it, you know, a few weeks down the line. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. We've got a big card at Fairgrounds to talk about this coming Saturday, including the Grade 3 LeCompte and the Louisiana Stakes. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
The Pegasus World Cup returns Saturday, January 29th to Gulfstream Park. Join A-list celebrities, fashion icons, and the biggest names in horse racing for South Florida's luxury sports and entertainment event of the year. Experience VIP dining, a burlesque brunch from Faina's Trist Cabaret, or go trackside in the Carousel Club, featuring DJ Cassidy with celebrity performers. Tickets are on sale now at PegasusWorldCup.com.
Hey, HRN Nation, Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch here. Did you know Twin Spires has special offers for HRN listeners every day of the week? So there's always a reason to get in on the action. Whether you're interested in international racing around the globe or something closer to home, Twin Spires has an offer to make it worth your while. From Trifecta Thursdays and bet insurance to profit boosts and leaderboard prize pools, there's something for everybody at Twin Spires. Just go to bet.twinspires.com/HRRN for the latest special offers and get in on the action today. That's bet.twinspires.com/HRRN. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit twinspires.com. Must be 18 plus, 21 plus where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and James Scully taking you until 7 o'clock tonight and every Thursday night here on the network. Right now, it's time for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. A little bit of good news, James. Ortiz Jr. returns from injury January 22nd at Gulfstream. Irad Ortiz Jr. injured his knee in a starting gate accident January 7th at Gulfstream Park, scheduled to resume riding there January 22nd. Three-time Eclipse Award-winning jockey has three mounts, including Max KO in the $75,000 Sunshine Turf Stakes. After initially being diagnosed with a minor knee fracture that could have taken as long as a month to heal, the rider received a second medical opinion January 12th, and it was told it was a bone contusion, not a fracture. That cleared the way for a swifter return, according to agent Steve Rushing. Ortiz breezed horses January 18th and 19th and felt good, Rushing said. Plans call for the rider to ride sparingly over the weekend before resuming a full workload next week, his agent said. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow the road to the Kentucky Derby, plus have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day, or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Blood Horse Daily has the largest reach of any industry electronic newsletter or app. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up now. Let's go back out to the phones. Chris in New Jersey, you've got Bobby and James on the call-in show.
Bobby and James, good afternoon. How is everybody doing?
Hey, Chris, how are you today?
Great.
Terrific. Some horses have the heart of a champion. Some horses don't. Midnight Bourbon does not have the heart of a champion, and I've made a ton of money betting against that horse, and I will continue to do so. I had the horse in the Preakness. He struck the front, looked like he had the race won. I had a pick five, pick four, pick three, and a double to Midnight Bourbon, and I watched it all evaporate as the horse spit it out late. And since that time, I bet against the horse every chance I can. I think Mandaloon's an absolute lock Saturday at the fairgrounds. I will single him, just like I bet against Midnight Bourbon the last time out at Churchill and hit the pick five there. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say. I think it's a great card at Fairgrounds, obviously. Going to look to spread in the little comp. Hope maybe Trafalgar can get a little bit something with a price over Echo Town. Just looking forward to a real good day of racing. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say about the Louisiana and about the comp. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Appreciate the call, Chris. So the last five races on the card this Saturday, James, at Fairgrounds are all stakes, and they make up a $250,000 guaranteed all stakes pick five, just a 50 cent minimum wager. And the last two races on the card are the real big ones. The Grade 3 Louisiana goes as the 13th race. The Grade 3 LeCompte goes as the 14th race. Chris was mentioning the Louisiana as a race where he's going to single, and he's going to go with Brad Cox's Mandaloon, who's actually the even money on the morning line, despite the fact that he has not run since, technically winning the Haskell last summer at Monmouth Park. He crossed the wire second, but because Hot Rod Charlie caused interference to Midnight Bourbon in the stretch, he was disqualified. Mandaloon placed first, and, you know, for all we know, Mandaloon may end up being the official winner of last year's Kentucky Derby when all is said and done. But he's making his return to the races. He'll have to beat Midnight Bourbon, who has a lot more recency. We saw him in the Clark last time out run a decent third behind Maxfield, although if you bet him at 6-5, you don't think it was real decent.
No.
those are certainly the two big names in there. What are you expecting to see from Mandaloon first race back?
I expect him to run big for Brad Cox, and I agree with what Chris said. I think that, you know, one thing about Midnight Bourbon, his best two races last year, when he won the LeCompte Stakes, he led wire to wire. He got a two-length lead, pretty easy lead early on. And then when he ran a huge second to Essential Quality in the Traverse, it was sort of a similar trip where he had everything his own way on the front end. I actually liked Midnight Bourbon in the cart because I could foresee him setting the pace and getting the trip. Everything went as planned in that regard, but he did, you know, just didn't have enough left of the stretch. I think Mandaloon really last year, after he won the Risen Star, Bobby, in February, I thought he completely flopped in the Louisiana Derby. War of Will did it back in 2019 as well. And you're basically, to me, going into the Kentucky Derby, really just not having a hard, real race, you know, since February. And I thought he ran, really trained up to that race forwardly, ran big, like, you know, like sort of fresh in a sense that he still hadn't run since March 20th. And I think he's going to come back firing for Brad Cox. I think he's going to be a better four-year-old than Midnight Bourbon. I'll be playing the late pick five, the all-stakes pick five, and that's kind of spot where I think it's just sort of silly to use both horses. I think that's a kind of race where it's wise to have an opinion, and I like Mandaloon. I'll look to spread at some other races. I agree with his take a little bit on Trafalgar, but really that's my thought on Louisiana. What do you think, Bobby?
I agree with what you're both saying as far as picking one and not using two. I'm going to handicap it and look. Boy, I'd like to own Midnight Bourbon, even though he doesn't win very often. For a horse that doesn't win, you know, he's made almost $1.2 million in his career, and he just never runs a bad. It seems like the only time you can keep him out of the top three is if you cause him to fall in the stretch, which is exactly what happened in the Grade 1 Haskell.
I'll say this. I think Pirate's Punch and Sprawl are a little bit key to keeping a Midnight Bourbon company on the front end, especially Pirate's Punch. If that happens, I think that benefits Mandaloon. If those horses don't go, and we see this happen, you know, when it looks like you're going to have multiple horses go and that doesn't happen, and Midnight Bourbon gets an easy lead, considering how well he ran at Fairgrounds last year, you definitely have to respect him.
I think what Chris is basically saying, though, is that he thinks that even if Midnight Bourbon gets a clear lead, he's no slam dunk to keep going all the way. Chris feels he's a little bit faint of heart down the stretch, and I can see that. Now, I will say this. I actually picked Ron Bauer to win the Preakness last year. I thought the pace might set up well for him, and they went pretty fast, and he just came blowing by everybody that day. And unfortunately, we're not going to get to see Ron Bauer race anymore. So even though it looked like Midnight Bourbon had that race won, I think that he was attending a strong pace in the Preakness that really set it up perfectly for Ron Bauer. You know, when he gave it up in the Travers, I mean, it's not like he gave it up to a slob. He gave it up to Essential Quality, who just kind of grinded away. And by the way, he only got beat a neck. It's not like he gave up a big lead and Essential Quality blew his doors off late. But Essential Quality had to probably work as harder than he's ever had to work to get a win, to get that Travers win. I don't know. I think Midnight Bourbon and Hot Rod Charlie are kind of the same kind of horse. I don't know if I might like Mandaloon over both of them if he's right. I think the difference is that you kind of know what you're getting with Midnight Bourbon, and you're not 100% sure what effort you're going to get out of Mandaloon. I mean, I realize other than that Louisiana Derby, he's never run a quote unquote bad race, but you know, when he won the Pegasus Stakes, the one at Monmouth, not the one at Gulfstream, I mean that was an awful race. That was just terrible that day. I know he won. He beat Weyburn and Dr. Jack, but I mean, it was a slow race. It was probably one of the big reasons that he was actually 3-1 in the Haskell next time out.
But he moved forward off of that race. I mean, he did come back off of the Derby in that race. And one thing about his trip in the Derby with Mandaloon is that, you know, he wasn't reading too far off the pace. He was sitting just off the front runners and moved up on the turn and was right there in the mix challenging for the lead. So to me, you're right. I mean, I think the fact that he's raced a lot less and been a lot less exposed than Midnight Bourbon is like sort of an asset. You know, you have two horses and you have one, you know, that might, you know, could have unlimited upside. Mandaloon could really be a good 4-year-old this year. And you know, if I look at the race, I got to go with one or the other. I'm going to go with Mandaloon on Sunday, on Saturday. But I'm still just really intrigued to see the race.
Good pick five sequence there. You like Mandaloon. Chris likes Mandaloon. I'm going to handicap it a little bit more before I make a decision. Speaking of good races on that sequence, the final race of the day is the featured event. It's the Grade 3 LeCompte. Want to talk about the LeCompte. We're going to take a break, though. When we come back, want your thoughts, James, and your thoughts, HRRN Nation, on this year's LeCompte field. The phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at bristnet.com/APR. The bristnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit bristnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Bristnet is the handicapper's edge. Thoroughbred racing is back at Sam Houston Race Park, the home of 12% takeouts for all horizontal wagers. Live racing every Thursday at 4 p.m. and Fridays and Saturdays at 6:45 p.m. Central Time. On Saturday, January 30th, the biggest racing day in Texas with over $1 million in purses, featuring the Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic and the Grade 3 John B. Connolly Turf Cup. First post time, 1:45 p.m. It's all happening in 2022 at Sam Houston Race Park.
Hey, HRN Nation, Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch here. Did you know Twin Spires has special offers for HRN listeners every day of the week? So there's always a reason to get in on the action. Whether you're interested in international racing around the globe or something closer to home, Twin Spires has an offer to make it worth your while. From Trifecta Thursdays and bet insurance to profit boosts and leaderboard prize pools, there's something for everybody at Twin Spires. Just go to bet.twinspires.com/HRRN for the latest special offers and get in on the action today. That's bet.twinspires.com/HRRN. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit twinspires.com. Must be 18 plus, 21 plus where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing ventures of Colonel E.R. Bradley. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Back to the phones we go. Charles in Mississippi. Charles, did you have Rated R Superstar at 25-1?
I absolutely did, Bobby, because I played six horses in that race. And thank goodness you asked me, because you know what finished off the double in the pick three.
Oh, yes. I'm well aware, my man. But I wasn't sure you were gonna spread deep enough to have Rated R Superstar. Boy, he ran a big race for Danny Caldwell this past Saturday in the fifth season.
Well, yeah, I think when you play six horses out of nine, Bobby, I figured the race like this. I figured, you know, you were asking that question, what have you learned in gambling? And no matter what kind of gambling you do, whether it's sports, poker, horse racing, leverage means everything. And if you can lever your picks to a pick three or a pick four, then you get a lot more pop for the buck. So I took $60, and I think I got back $1,380 in the double in the pick three, because I took the even money. I took six horses in the Rated R Superstar, and you know I was in the 12 hole with the Gar in the last race. So leverage and being able to be selective mean everything. And I was gonna make a real big money play on Garho, like, you know, maybe 500, 600, but I would gonna get back the same pop for my money 60 gave me as 600 would have gave me. And you know, I still can't believe that horse paid $6 and something.
I can't believe
it. You look
at
his times and I love to put the crossword puzzle together when I play horses. To me, that is the beauty of playing horses. You know, just coming up with the right, you can't come up with the right word every time, but sometimes you can come up, and that's the beauty of horse racing.
Charles, did you have Mucho on your ticket among your six horses?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you didn't sweat out
the stretch out.
Finish.
Yes. I saw him beat. Do you remember that horse he beat Hernandez came in from the Fairgrounds and rode it for Asmussen? He led the race, and Mucho catches him. He runs that 109 in that race. I just felt like I had six horses. I didn't like Concert Tour at all. I didn't like the other choice, but that was just, I was just playing, Like I said, I had $60. I had a $30 pick three and a $30 double. And the dollar paid on the double, I think 107, and the 50-cent pick three paid, I think, $158, James. And so I got the same bang for that I would have got for 600,
Yeah,
for
that's one six that's of awesome. The bet. Congratulations, Charles. That's fantastic.
Well, I mean, I was fortunate. Like Bobby said, I mean, a 25-1 shot one. But, I mean, that's why people run, James.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard this, Charles, the story about that, according to the quotes from his owner, Danny Caldwell, is that he wasn't looking at running Rated R Superstar in that race, but his trainer, Freddie Villafranco, told him, he said, you need to run this horse here. He's doing as good as he's ever done since we've had him. And he basically talked Danny into running the horse there, and bang, they got it.
Horse ran a big race in the stakes at Oaklawn 2 years ago. I believe it was 2 years ago when he was in the Garcia barn.
I think you're right. You're right.
He'd been around forever.
who, me?
No,
Rated R Superstar.
Rated R Superstar. You too, Charles. Sorry.
I've been around, yes. But, I mean, when you're looking at races, you have an intrinsic advantage if you study whether you want to call it a science, your craft, whatever. I mean, I know there are guys that I love, jockeys I love to bet at the New York tracks that race on turf that are not just household names. I mean, I think you have an advantage playing certain guys at 20-1 and 30-1 that are, I just think, are great young riders, great journeyman riders, and that's where you have to – you construct your tickets and stuff, that you have to have value in your ticket. Whether you're playing the stock market, crypto, a poker hand, you got to have value, Bobby.
Cabrera is a terrific rider at Remington, who was on that Rated R Superstar. I'm sorry.
I was so glad to win that race. I mean, I can't tell you. I was rooting for five horses, and Mucho would have been all right with me too, Scully. Mucho would have been, I think he was 8-1.
Yeah, he was. He was, you mentioned on the stretch out, he was a horse that, I didn't pick Mucho to win that race, but I was rooting for him in the stretch. Because he was a horse that back when he ran second, a close second in the 2018 hopeful, he was a Claiborne horse built with Bill Mott. And his pedigree, I mean, he's Bob Blame, he's out of a pulpit mare, it was like built for two turns. I liked him for the Kentucky Derby that fall. And, obviously he ran 30 times or 29 times before got claimed. Bobby, we were talking about that last week. You were talking about horses that were claimed and went on and won stakes. I was thinking about that very topic when those horses hit the wire in the fifth season, because the top two finishers have both been claimed again the last year. But that Mucho finally stretched out the two turns in that race. And really ran the race of, ran a terrific
race.
He ran
his eyeballs out. But he ran his eyeballs out. I mean, he's been running his eyeballs out, at the end of the meet at Churchill. He ran against that Aloha West. And Aloha West was life and death to beat him. And, but that's what I love about it. And look, this long, elongated Oakland Park meet, you got the time to set up. I mean, some of these horses are going to run a lot more times than they ever would have ran, in the old days. And they, it's been fantastic. And I can't wait till Saturday. And I'm going to have my Brisnet and PPs and Bobby. I guess I'll see you at the Rebel. I'll be calling in, and enjoy the show, guys.
All right, Charles, thanks for calling. Only 5 weeks till the Rebel Stakes, my friend. We'll see you there in Hot Springs, Arkansas. James, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, let's talk about the Grade 3 LeCompte, the only points qualifier on the road to the Kentucky Derby. It takes place this Saturday at Fairgrounds. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Hey, HRN Nation, Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch here. Did you know TwinSpires has special offers for HRN listeners every day of the week? So there's always a reason to get in on the action. Whether you're interested in international racing around the globe or something closer to home, TwinSpires has an offer to make it worth your while. From Trifecta Thursdays and bet insurance to profit boosts and leaderboard prize pools, there's something for everybody at TwinSpires. Just go to bet.twinspires.com/HRRN for the latest special offers and get in on the action today. That's bet.twinspires.com/HRRN. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit twinspires.com. Must be 18 plus. 21 plus where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get your favorite HRRN shows anytime.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Twin Spires.
The Brisnet.com call-in show.
Trainer Talk, presented by Phasing Tipton.
The Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Follow us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app to download our latest episodes. Or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to listen live whenever we're on the air. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Back, final segment of the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully. James, the big race of the weekend and the only race that's a points qualifier on the road to the Kentucky Derby this year is the Grade 3 LeCompte at the Fairgrounds. Three-year-olds going a mile and a 16th. Purse of $200,000 on the line. Nice field of nine went through the entry box. And the favorite figures to be the Mark Cassie trainee, Papa Cap, who's never run a bad race in his career and is coming off a good second-place finish behind Corniche in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Yeah, Papa Cap is 8-5 morning line favorite for Mark Cassie. And the second choice in the race is Epic Center, who's 9-5. So they're going to be pretty close in the betting. Papa Cap, you're right. He's a he ran, you know, in both those races, he basically, you know, made a solid move on the turn and, you know, ran a good second while really not a threat to the winner. So he's going to need to keep moving forward at age three. But frankly, you know, that those form lines, you know, really flatter him in this spot. And he's going to be tough to beat. It looks like on paper, a son of from the first crop of leading freshman sire for Gunrunner.
I know it's close, especially when you're looking at speed figures, but I'm more impressed from Epicenter thus far than I am from Papa Cap. And obviously Epicenter's not running against Corniche yet, so we don't know what he would do against Corniche. But I've never been a giant fan of Corniche yet. I was going to try to beat him with Jack Christopher in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and when he got injured and came out of the race, it kind of thwarted all my plans for that race. So finishing second to Corniche, yeah, I know it's flashy on paper, but I think he's a beatable favorite, Papa Cap, in the LeCompte.
Yeah, and you know, Corniche ran slower than Echo Zulu. The Juvenile was slower than the Juvenile Fillies. And I agree with you. I was a little underwhelmed by all those runners in there. I came away from last fall sort of, you know, looking at like some races like the Remsen and Kentucky Jockey Club, as well as like maiden winners to keep an eye out moving into their three-year-old season. You mentioned Epic Center, who is by Not This Time, trained by Steve Asmussen. And he ran his first race at Churchill. He went 7 furlongs. He broke his maiden the second time out by Open Lance. And you're right, he comes off a race in the Gunrunner Stakes where he just crushed the field, one going away by 6 lengths and looked really sharp doing it. Definitely a top contender. I'll mention another horse. Chris mentioned, our caller mentioned earlier as well, number four in the race is Trafalgar, who's a son of Lord Nelson, who will be making his stakes debut for Al Stahl Jr. I am intrigued by this colt, Bobby. He ran second at First Asking to Classic Causeway, who's pointing to the Holy Bull. He ran second in the Breeders' Futurity and third in the Kentucky Jockey Club, a Brian Lynch colt that has some buzz to him. And then Trafalgar broke his maiden at Churchill Downs, got away slowly at a mile, and really offered, I thought, a really visually impressive move to run past his rivals and win in hand that day. Came back and in an allowance race on December 2nd at Fairgrounds, and had to, you know, basically work to get the job done. But I thought that runner-up, that naval avatar for Cox, is a promising colt that will be stakes bound himself. And I thought Trafalgar was taking a little bit out of his best run style that day, because it was a really like slow pace. He wound up on the front end by default, and look for him to get a little bit of a better trip sitting just off the pace there, or sitting off the pace on Saturday.
A lot of different ways you can go, and nobody that, at least in our minds, completely stands over this field. Even though Papa Cap has the big resume, I don't think he's really clearly faster than some of the other horses in this field. So going to be a fun renewal of the LeCompte this Saturday, 14th race on the 14 race card at Fairgrounds.
I'll mention one other horse, if you don't mind. One thing about this race, Bobby, it does have some speed in there. You have a couple horses that are going to be big prices, especially the Surfer Dude from the rail. Unified Report has some speed. There's going to be some pace in this race, it looks like, on paper at least. And Keith DeSormo has a long shot in here called Call Me Midnight. Might not be good enough to win, but he could be a horse that, if you're playing like the vertical exotics, to take a look at, because his win two back, I thought, at Churchill Downs was pretty nice from off the pace. And that Kentucky Jockey Club didn't have the slowest pace. He made a pretty nice little run before flattening out in the stretch. Could continue to move forward in his second stakes appearance.
Let's head back out to the phones. Paul in Connecticut, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Well, you took away a little bit away from my point, but I just was going through three different sources of data, including Timeform and so forth. And I do my second call analysis and stretch outs and whatever. And Unified Report stretching out has a chance to improve here and win, because if you look at 6-7 furlong races, you don't know, right? And it doesn't need the lead. And the point that was just made about Call Me Midnight, it gets back to the pace. To me, everything is the pace of the race. And I see a lot of pressure here. And I think that even though a horse is stretching out, he doesn't necessarily, in Unified Report's background, need to go to the lead. So you already kind of commented on what I thought as long shot plays. And I want to go back to the race 13 comment earlier. I think it was about Midnight Bourbon. To me, this horse, I know what people say about heart and will to win and all that, right? But I looked at this horse time and again, and he's always there, right? And he's done the heavy lifting most of the time, in my opinion. And Mandaloon had been raced, you know, half the number of starts, maybe. And I just think the horse isn't a spit the bit horse. He's tough. He just only won maybe 2 starts out of 11. And I think he's underrated as the heavy lift and tough horse. But I wouldn't bet either one of them at 1-1 or 6-5 simply because of some other comments made about horses, the pace. It gets back to, it depends what the board tells me at post time. So that's my two cents for this week, fellas. Okay?
Good stuff there, Paul. Really appreciate your call. So,
Thanks a lot, Paul. That was awesome.
Yeah, and to Paul's comment, to Paul, what he was saying, first of all, going to the LeCompte and Unified Report, this is a horse that his last race when he beat Statebreds in the Louisiana Juvenile going 6 furlongs, speed figure-wise, in my book, is about as good as anyone in the field. He's not overly bred to be better long than short, being by Unified out of a closing argument mare. They've been more kind of sprint breeding, both of those, than route, even though closing argument himself was a router. But, so far the closing arguments have done better short than long, and so have the Unifieds. So I don't know how Unified Report will do stretching out around two turns, but at 15-1, listen, you don't have to talk yourself into it. It's not like you're trying to talk yourself into a 3-1 shot. 15-1, if you think that horse has a chance, you should be throwing him in just for the heck of it. And it sounds like Paul may be doing more than just throwing him in. He may be, using him solidly in the LeCompte.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, one thing about the horse to his immediate inside is his stablemate, Dallas Stewart, has both the Surfer Dude and Unified Report. Unified Report showed good speed. He wasn't necessarily on the lead in those races, but he won, convincingly, that first, at least his first stake start, and then, pretty solidly last time as an odds on favorite. He's beat a couple decent horses as well. The runner up last time came back and won. His first time out, Rewire, I know he just ran second to Dash Attack at Oaklawn, and Buckingham Powell, Prince, who was third, was so. I thought that was sort of decent competition. He's going to have to step up. You're right about the two turn question as well, but that's that to me also. With these horses going a mile and a 16th early in the season, I'm not too worried about the distance. I mean, it's not as grueling as a mile and an eighth even. So I think there's can be a real difference going from a mile and a 16th, a mile and an eighth. And perhaps that won't be a question. And it sounds like Paul likes Midnight Bourbon. One thing, he pointed out, the last time he won was last year's LeCompte. He has lost 8 races in a row, but every time he's ran solidly.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a trivia thing before we get toward end of the show, James. Did you know no LeCompte winner has gone on to win the Kentucky Derby? The closest was in 1972, a horse named Noleace, who ended up running second to Riva Ridge. They have, of course, had a couple recent LeCompte winners that have won the Preakness the same year. Oxbow did it in 2013, and you mentioned War of Will a few years ago in 2019. And there have been some really good recent winners of the LeCompte that have gone on to great careers, whether it's Hard Spun or In Still Regard, or even Midnight Bourbon, who's still right in the thick of his career. So still looking for the first LeCompte / Kentucky Derby double. Don't know if we'll get it this year, but just something to think about. As we get near the top of the hour, James, what's going on with our friends over at BrisNet? I'm looking at some BrisNet Ultimate PPs for the LeCompte right now. What do you have going for us?
Yeah, absolutely. We, we're going to have free PPs for everybody out there for both the LeCompte Stakes on Saturday and Pool 2 of the Kentucky Derby Future Wager is this weekend. You can go to the BrisNet Twitter, Facebook accounts for those links to those free past performances, and check out BrisNet.com for any handicapping information. It's your source.
James, at the beginning of the hour, the end of the race day show, I was talking about if you could go back, let's just say 20 years, and advise yourself on something to or to not do in your handicapping prowess for the rest of your life, what do you wish you could tell yourself?
Quit wasting money betting trifectas and stupid gimmick bets like that.
You got to know your strengths, buddy. And if trifectas aren't your strengths, then I agree. You should stay away. It's been another fun edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show here on HRRN. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us this evening. Another full day on the network tomorrow, race day from 4 to 6. Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, and Santa Anita. The weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts from 6 to 7 tomorrow night. Good night, everybody.